From Everbank Field in Jacksonville, this is Jaguars.com Live. A weekly look inside the Jacksonville Jaguars organization. Jaguars.com Live starts right now.
We start off this afternoon with a look at the Dames Point Bridge. The St. John's River in the foreground. And it always winds up towards the Atlantic Ocean, there where the Dames Point goes over the St. John's a second time. Welcome to Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank. J.P. Shadrick with you from the HannityAutos.com studio at Everbank Field. Players are back in the building, so a busy day and a busy week here on Jaguars.com Live. Laurenti McCray is in studio with us. We'll get to him coming up. NFL Network analyst Daniel Jeremiah joins us on the phone as well. We're 8 days away from the start of the 2017 NFL Draft. We'll talk linebacker talk, some of the news that came out yesterday as well. Brian Sexton will jump in with us here shortly. John Osier is with us. Laurenti McCray is with us. Good to see you, man. How are you?
Good to see you guys. How you guys doing? I'm doing great.
Great. And, hey, we're a couple of days into the off-season program here. We were talking off the air here before. Is it everything you thought it would be? What's the feel right now and as compared to what you thought when you signed here?
I'll just say everybody's very passionate about, you know, working, looking forward to the season, looking forward to having a great offseason and letting that transfer over to the field in August.
How long do you expect it'll take before you feel, I'm not sure the word I'm looking for, but like you know what's going on here, like you feel what the culture is doing? Because you are new coming into it and you're going through that learning process. How long till you get comfortable?
I'm pretty comfortable now. I felt right at home from when I signed. You know, I wouldn't have came here if I didn't feel at home. So I think that I'm feeling very well. I just think that coming in now and not being here from years prior, you know, I just have to get the respect of my teammates and just coming out and working and, you know what I'm saying, doing whatever they asked of me to do and just helping my teammates and just holding each other accountable.
When you signed here, we talked about your role as a special teams ace on this team, and you have a past with Joe DeCamillis. How's that been the first few days with him rekindling what happened out in Denver? Pretty cool?
It's been definitely good. You know, Joe D is Joe D. You know, you got to love him. You know, if you know who Joe D is, you know he's very passionate about what he does. He loves his craft. He loves football. Most importantly, he loves special teams and making the special teams unit better because that's one-third of the game that people tend to forget about.
Why is that your kind of game, the special teams game? What's the best part of that for you?
It's just going and playing. Yeah. You know, it's just reacting and playing football. Just no real big plays. Just going out there and playing and just let your athletic ability speak for itself.
You've been around the league enough to have seen some special teams coaches. Tell me what makes Joe good.
Joe D's probably one of the best I've been around. I think his resume pretty much speaks for himself. He's been in the league 30 years, but what makes him a great special team coach is he caters to his players. You know, he puts his players in the best position to be successful, and he always creates matchup problems for other teams. You know, in order to win games in this football league, you got to get a check mark in each category. Most of the time, at least two-thirds of the game, offense, defense, and special teams. So if you're able to get a check mark in special teams, you know, you got a good chance of winning the game as long as you contribute on offense and defense and not turning the ball over. So I think that's one of the things that Joe D does the best is getting that check mark in special teams.
Now, it was a big offseason priority for this team to get better there. It's one reason you're here. Are you feeling that so far? Do you feel it's easy to say that you care about special teams as an organization, but it feels like the money is where the mouth is, so to speak? Are you feeling that?
Almost definitely. I just think this program is – we're ready to win right now. So I think that's kind of how everybody's handling it from the top down. Mm-hmm. You know, with the GM, the owner, you know, the coaches, everybody's top down. We're ready to win right now. And I think that's the statement that they've made this offseason coming in with the players coming in. And they're just setting the forefront for when the rookies get here. So they know how to be professionals.
You were right down the road from your alma mater, the University of Florida, about, what, an hour and a half, hour 20 minutes away, depending on how fast you drive getting down to Gainesville.
Don't go through Waldo.
That's a bad idea. Pretty cool being back that close to your home state, your alma mater and all that. How do you feel about that so far?
I feel great. You know, I was just talking to somebody about it yesterday, just coming from Gator Nation to now I'm up in Jag Nation, so. You know, it's great to be home, and I'm excited about the opportunity that's in front of me and excited about where this team is going here in this year and years to come. You know, we're ready to win right now, and I think this year we're going to see a big difference in this whole city. You know, things are going to evolve in sort of the right direction. You know, you said you've been here for 5 years, mm-hmm. but, you know, you're going to see a change in the city, a change in the atmosphere, a change in the culture of the whole city, not just here in this stadium.
That's something everybody likes to hear. We like to hear that, too. Absolutely.
It would not be a bad thing.
No, not at all.
If that were true. We have talked a lot about you as a special teams guy, but also defensive end. That's going to be your position. I assume you expect to contribute and expect to play a role on defense as well.
Oh, yeah, most definitely. One thing with talking to Coach Coughlin, you know, coming in when I signed was, you know, I'm ready to do whatever it takes. I just want to win. You know, that's always been my goal since I started playing football, was to win games. You know, whatever they're asking me to do, I'm going to do. So that's kind of the mindset I have going into this offseason, getting in the best shape of my life, being able to contribute on special teams, offense, if I have to, on goal line, anything. You know, I'll play whatever. You know,
you have ball handling experience here. Could you tote the rock if you needed to?
Oh yeah, I used to play running back in high school, and I was a return specialist as well.
Return specialist? You still got a little speed in you?
Yeah.
You still do. Okay.
Yeah, the more you can do.
That never goes anywhere. The speed never goes anywhere.
Yeah, keep that as long as you can, right?
As long as the weight stays the same, the speed stays.
I'm long past the speed, though.
Yeah, it doesn't, Laurenti. Trust me. As you go forward into this, it's been interesting to listen to you. Every time you've spoken publicly, the enthusiasm you feel for this, the optimism that you have that it's going to turn around. Since you've gotten here, what has caused you to believe that? Why do you trust that it's going to turn around with what's going on now?
Just the atmosphere. I can spill it. It's just an inner spiritual feeling that you have, or something that's going to be something that's destined. It's already written. You know, when that's in 2015 when I was with the Denver Broncos, that's kind of sort of the mentality that mm-hmm. we had. As a team, we all felt it as brothers. We had camaraderie, and, you know, we felt that we was going to win the Super Bowl. There was no doubt, and no man that was on the 53-man roster, there was no doubt in his mind that we was going to win that game. It was a question of how we were going to win the game, you know. So, you know, there's no doubt that we're going to be successful here and we're going to win games. We just don't know how it's going to look. The picture's not painted, but most definitely we're going to win games and we're going to turn this thing around and get to where we need to be.
But being in an environment like that, you have the experience of knowing how that was built from the locker room, right? And you can kind of bring that over to this group maybe, right?
Yeah, most definitely with me and amongst the other guys that we signed, the new guys and the guys that we brought in last year and Malik, and bringing in the guys that we brought in this year, you know, it's definitely a different culture. It's guys that have been there, done that, and guys that are tired of going 3-13. You know, we want to reverse that record and go 13-3, you know what I'm saying, so we can have greater heights and more success in the future, the near future.
Take us through the rest of your week. I know players kind of are down today a little bit, but you're in the building anyway. A lot of guys were in the building today also. But the rest of the week here, what's your schedule like?
We come in tomorrow, start over again. Come in tomorrow, take it one day at a time, come in and work. You know, we had a lot of guys here today. Today was a voluntary, but, you know, guys took it underneath them and to come in and make that their first thing to do when they get up in the morning was to come in, and that's a great sign of success.
Great to see you. We appreciate your time, and we're looking forward to seeing you on the field here soon. We appreciate your time today, man. Good to see you.
All right, thank you.
Laurenti McCray joining us here on Jaguars.com Live.
Thank you.
Watch for him on special teams. Yeah, at defensive end as well. He'll jump in this season. Hey, coming up Friday, the media luncheon here at Everbank Field, a noon start for the draft media luncheon. We'll have some remarks from the Big Three early. We'll carry that live on Jaguars.com and on the Periscope application. Jaguars Periscope.
Yeah, I have no idea what you're talking about.
I don't know what
do
Jaguars Periscope really is. I've used it twice.
Yeah.
I'm kind of lost. But anyway, it's
you got distracted because you started talking about
kids.
Lunch. What happened?
Right. It's a hit with the kids. Periscope, check it out on Friday. Brian Sexton
Hello.
Is with us.
How
you
are
you? Explain Periscope to us while you're...
It's one of those newfangled social media things, right?
He's thinking about lunch, too.
Yeah.
I already have it. It's pretty good.
Yeah. Cool to hear from Laurenti McCray. And Special teams, there were some holes the last couple of years in coverage and name a spot on special teams, and there were sometimes issues there. And
well, sometimes was it, like every time last year. It really fell off. At moments, John, where you knew that the Jaguars were going to have to punt, you thought it's too bad because they're going to give up a return.
Well, it got to where it was an epidemic. Every week there was something, some sort of key play in special teams. And when I don't think any team can – handle that sort of a thing each week, but especially when you're a team that's trying to make a step and that you're playing close games and you're operating on a margin anyway, that kind of a play is a killer, and it killed too often last year.
Yesterday, Paul Posluszny said he's learning Sam linebacker for the first time in his pro career. Last time he played an outside linebacker position was at Penn State University. He played some weak side there for a number of years. Strong side's a little different. Miles Jack moving to the middle linebacker spot. It was a rumbling this offseason, but now it is confirmed. And it seems, you know, this first glance at Paul yesterday, that as the pro that he is, and I know you wrote about this, John, that he's going to deal with it the right way. Though he may not agree, I think, wholeheartedly with it, he's going to do what he can and what he thinks is best for the team.
Well, you have to remember what makes somebody like Paul tick. He is a... I've been around the league for 20 years, Brian, you have as well. He's up there with the most committed, driven, focused, does
detail
things
oriented.
The right way, all the things, all about preparation, all those words that, you know, he's up there with as good as I've ever been around in terms of being a pro and preparing. And part of what goes into that is you throw your entire being into what you are, what you do every day. We joked with him a couple weeks ago on Ozone Live on Facebook about his diet in the off season and during the season and just what a total commitment it is to prepare. And that's what he is. So he didn't go into this off season thinking, hey, I'm going to move. He's a middle linebacker. He's always done that. So, yes, it was a shock to him no matter what we all thought. I think he was a little stunned when he was talking about it, still trying to figure out how to process it, and he'll probably go through that a little bit. But I also think he'll figure out a way to make the transition well and do it well. I think it remains to be seen if it will help on the field. I think you had to do it because it's time for Miles Jack to play. We'll see how that transition goes. He's a very good player, Paul Posluszny, and very reliable. So I think you had to do it, but I think it will be something to watch.
How well do you deal with change?
Oh,
50-year-old guy?
Change is evil.
Yeah, right. Well, no, I mean, I'm making the point.
No, I'm being serious.
I'm too. You reach that point where you don't want to change because you're so used to doing it a certain way. You know, you're talking about a 33-year-old linebacker who's been to the Pro Bowl, who has always had two or three steps, right, to take before having to engage a blocker, reading his keys, whether it's the center or the guard or the quarterback. Now he's going to be on the line of scrimmage across from a tight end. And he's going to have to engage him instantly now. Hey, I mean, that's a young man's game, right?
Yeah,
you're going to take
sure.
out a big – and the big tight ends, the big blocking tight ends, it changes the way that you line up. It's the way that you read. It's all of those things. And he's 33 years old in the final year of his contract. I wouldn't be happy if I were him about it either. But the one thing that he did go out of his way and said three different times was he wants to win. He's never been on a winning team. He's never even sniffed the playoffs. So if this is what it takes for them to have the best players on the field, he'll do it. But you know, he's going home and wondering, man, how am I going to get up to speed this quickly at the end of his career? Compare that to Miles Jack, who last year played, right? Three different positions, learned three different positions. Well, he's a rookie. He didn't know any better. He didn't have habits ingrained. It's tough when you get older to change. And a 33-year-old linebacker, by the way, might as well be a 50-year-old man. I mean, it's an equivalent.
For Paul's sake, I hope not. Physically, mentally, the whole ball away.
Hey, look,
it's
all
tough.
Of it. You get the point, though.
Yeah.
It's tough. It's really difficult to learn to do things differently.
But absolutely credit Paul for how he handled it, and I think how he will handle it.
Any doubt,
we all
though?
Know him pretty well. He will handle it well, and I think he'll succeed at it. So we'll see how this plays out. It's a very fascinating storyline.
He's the most professional football player I have ever encountered in 22-plus years of doing this.
That's very fair to say. Now, check out all the archives from yesterday, all the press conferences of the four on Jaguars.com. Today, south end of Everbank Field at Daly's Place, the topping out ceremony, the final piece of structural steel put in place, and they had a little ceremony today outside Everbank Field. That's coming up fast. Memorial Day is right around the corner, and the construction continues before that first concert. Did you see it today, Brian?
Yeah, I did go out there and watch it. It wasn't as fast as it is appearing on your screen right now.
Okay.
It took a little while. There's a tree on the top of that, and the tree is, you know, congratulations on a job well done, and good luck to the future occupants. It's an old Viking tradition. If you listen to the steelworkers, and they're very superstitious about it. My question is, how's the tree going to grow all the way up there?
That's a great question.
How long is it going to stay?
I don't know. I thought we were about to have a Cliff Clavin moment where you're going
to send JP up to water it every day.
Now that, I would go stand and watch every day.
I'd watch that too.
The draft show coming up at Everbank Field. That's Thursday night, next Thursday, a week from tomorrow, 6 o'clock at Everbank Field. The Bud Light Draft Show presented by PRI Productions. Go to Jaguars.com. You can click the link at the top of the page and register for tickets. 2017 draft coming up right around the corner as I think the Jags have the number 4 pick this year. We're out to Daniel Jeremiah. We should have him momentarily on the phone, NFL Network analyst, and get his thoughts on what the Jags and what the top teams of the draft will do. You think the hay's in the barn at this point across the hall here?
I think for the most part it's in the barn. I think for the most part the board is up, ready. I'm not sure at this point, 9 days out, if Tom's done looking at it and making decisions.
Well, you know, the last couple of days here about the, you know, they did the medical recheck in Indy last week, and it's about any little piece of information. No one's going to climb dramatically or fall precipitously on that board, but you're also going through scenarios, right? What if Leonard Fournette is the guy they want and he goes two? And Jamal Adams is the second guy on their list and he goes three. You know, and Jonathan Allen's the guy they're worried about and they're not sold on the shoulders. So what do they do it for, right?
That's the biggest thing that's going on this week. Yeah. You're correct.
You're going through scenarios. You're trying to predict what other teams are going to do. You're looking at who might trade up. Where's the quarterback market? Because that's heating up precipitously. I mean, I already used the word precipitously. What's another adjective I could use?
A lot.
Yeah, a lot. Yeah, dramatically, incredibly. Yeah, but really, the talk is all over the place about quarterbacks and where they go. So, I mean, they're looking at all the scenarios. And they've got guys in. I wouldn't be surprised if they make another trip here in the next couple of days and are out there on the road, you know, kind of like Todd Walsh did at the end of last draft season with Yannick Ngakoue, that they've got guys out there just trying to cross the T's and dot the I's and be sure.
And it's getting so the easiest thing to predict is the quarterbacks will be pushed either high or too high, depending how you look at it. 2 months ago, we all said, no way two quarterbacks would go for the Jaguars. Now, reports at least are that the 49ers and Bears could take a quarterback up high. And I guess we'll find out if that's going to happen from our next guest. Yeah. Nice tease, John.
Daniel Jeremiah, NFL Network analyst, at Move the Sticks on social media. Path to the Draft is a show on NFL Network and the Move the Sticks podcast. Daniel, are you busy yet?
Yeah, it's that time of year where you're like, I forgot to eat something. I probably should eat something today. That'd be a good idea.
We're a little over a week away. We're just having the conversation here. You know, is the hay in the barn at this point of the draft, you know, fourth overall and the team's up high, or is scenario time right about now, right?
Yeah, no question. I mean, you should have it all stacked up pretty good here. For sure, you've got your top four players stacked, so you know how that would go if you sit tight. But now you start working through different opportunities and start trying to figure out, okay, how far back can we go and still get what we deem to be, you know, an impact player? You know, it's great to collect assets and to trade down and collect multiple picks, but you don't want to miss out on that top shelf of guys. So some years that group is seven deep. Some years that group can be 13 to 15 deep. So they have to figure that out.
Daniel, I know you spend most of your time on your own lists and your own stuff, but when you look around, it's sort of the opinions of people around, other draft guys. Who's maybe the guy that you can't believe people don't have higher, and a guy that you can't believe people have so high, if you follow me?
Yeah, and I haven't paid super close attention to what's going on everywhere else in the media, but I would say the one that I'm just not – I've said it for a couple days now. We've been talking about it on our show, but Malik McDowell, to me, is just – he is a boomer bust, you know, high risk, but a lot. I mean, a real high risk, but there also is a big reward there. I've seen him listed as a top 20 player, you know, a couple spots, and that just is, that's just too too high for me. So that one would be the one that, that I would say is a little bit up there, higher than I would like. And then when you look at some other ones, I mean, I like, to me, Tre'Davious White, I have him as, I don't know, 17, 19 overall on my list. And you talk to folks around the league, they view him more as a later one, maybe early two, that he's not a, you know, he's not a real sexy athlete. I just think the guys, I don't think you miss on him. I think he's just a rock solid football player, and I take him every day of the week.
The quarterback conversation, as we alluded to, has gotten really strong, and obviously some of that's content, right? I mean, it's the sexy position, and we're a week away from the draft. Do you think it's a lock that there's one top five quarterback in this draft or two?
Wow, I don't think any. I don't think there's such thing as a lock with the quarterbacks in this draft. There is so much. There is so much smoke going out there right now, more so than I can ever remember. Trying to sort through it. I mean, I've heard within the last 2 weeks, I've heard San Francisco could take a quarterback. I've heard Chicago could take a quarterback. People have talked about Jacksonville taking a quarterback. You go all the way down the list, and Cleveland coming back up, trading back up to get one. So at Buffalo, everybody seems to think that's a lock they're going to take a quarterback. But when we get down to it, you got to turn in the card. You know, we'll see if that was all legitimate. But man, it's there is so much smoke being thrown around with so many different teams. It's going to be a fascinating case study.
Daniel Jeremiah is with us from NFL Network, draft analyst, and Move the Sticks on Twitter. If it's a quarterback, you usually have a better idea by now, right? They usually kind of move up if somebody makes a move, right?
Yeah, those guys identify themselves. You know, the teams. You know the teams that need them, and then you know who those top guys are. This year, there's so many teams being mentioned that have, and when you look at them, like, you know, you look at Buffalo, it's not like they don't have somebody to line up and play. I mean, Tyrod Taylor, I didn't think he played all that bad last year. He's an option. In years past, it's been like, okay, look, they've got Case Keenum, they're taking a quarterback. You know, you knew that was going to happen. And this year, it's like teams have, you know, solid players, but you think maybe they're trying to upgrade. And you also have that group of 2004 quarterbacks, you know, that are getting a little bit older. When you look at Phillip Rivers, the Chargers picking at 7. You look at the Giants and the Steelers with Eli and Ben, you know, getting up there in age. You also have Drew Brees, you know, obviously up there in age. So that next wave of quarterbacks, Carson Palmer's another one. So there's truly more teams that are interested in quarterbacks than there are quarterbacks, and that's where I think you could see these guys get pushed up higher than they should go.
All right, this is the one you have to get right. Who do the Jaguars take and why?
Who do the Jags take and why? All right, that's a good one. I'm going to say, well, let's just kind of go down through the list because that makes it easier to do this little exercise. I'll say Garrett goes number one to Cleveland. I think number two, San Francisco. The latest vibe I get is that that's going to be Marshawn Lattimore. That's the latest that you hear at two. The Bears at three. I've heard all the talk about, you know, a quarterback. I don't know that I'm buying it there. I'd put Solomon Thomas in there. And so now you get to Jacksonville at four. And I think, you know, the two names I would keep an eye on, Fournette, who's been talked about, and I would not rule out Malik Hooker. I know they brought over Barry Church, but Malik Hooker is a rare, rare talent as a high safety. And you could bring him in there, and you have Malik Hooker and Jalen Ramsey for the next decade, I'd sign up for that.
If you're taking quarterback, and I don't know if the Jaguars will or won't, but if you're taking quarterback, there's nobody off the board yet in your mock. Again, who do you take and why? Who's the best of the bunch in your book?
Yeah, I'm going to go with Watson. I mean, that would be my choice. I ended up with him as a top quarterback. He's not perfect by any stretch. But when I list it out and I just say, okay, what are the pros and the cons here? When I look at the pro side and I see, okay, he's got enough size. He's got plenty of arm strength. The toughness, the poise, the competitiveness, you know, the fact that he's big on big stages, all that stuff is overwhelming to me. And it overcomes the fact he's not the purest passer in terms of accuracy. Decision-making is an area he needs to improve. Obviously comes out of a different offense that's going to take some adjustment. But I think you buy into the kid and you say, okay, we can get there. It might take a little time, but I'm buying Deshaun Watson, the person, and hoping the player comes along with it.
All right, Daniel, last couple of thoughts here. First off, we didn't see Jonathan Allen anywhere near the top of the list lately. That brings up the other thought. Is there a Miles Jack-like of slide for somebody in this draft? You know, last year he slid all the way down to the second. Is Allen that kind of guy, or is there somebody that might scare some teams here?
Well, I mean, all the medical stuff has come back. Teams have had all their medical meetings. And, you know, the stuff that I got on Jonathan Allen wasn't that he would, you know, it was bad enough that that teams would remove him from the board, but that, you know, hey, he could slide a little bit. You know, he could slide a little bit because of the shoulders. So, you know, I think there's a good chance, or a fair chance at least, that he could slide out of the top 10. I don't know if he's going to go all the way down to Miles Jack territory. Mm-hmm. There were a lot of teams that had removed Miles Jack from their board. I don't know that we have that same situation with Allen. The other one I keep an eye on, just because he's had some injuries through his career, is John Ross from Washington, mm-hmm. who's got a lot of big grades around the league, but I have to see how the medical comes out there.
Is this as tough a draft at the top? I mean, you just mentioned when you went through your mock, number two for you has changed in a couple of weeks. So that means we're not certain at the number two. Anything past Miles Garrett, nobody's certain. Is this as tough to predict starting early as any recent draft?
I can't remember a year where I was this clueless in terms of what's going to go on at the top of this thing. You know, like I take more pride in the evaluation part of it than the prediction part of it.
True.
But, you know enough people, and those relationships grow over the years. You end up getting a pretty decent feel for at least the top end of the draft. I mean, this year, I mean, you're talking about the number two pick. We have no idea what they're going to do. And some of that is because you've got a first-time GM, a first-time head coach, and a roster with, you know, like Swiss cheese. You got holes everywhere. So they could go in any direction.
But there's no way the Browns don't take Garrett, in your opinion.
I would be shocked. I mean, we've been shocked before, but that would be a new level of shock if they didn't take him.
Yeah, I think it would be for a lot of folks. One final thought on Joe Mixon. Where does he land in this draft?
That one, again, I mean, I've been saying second round. You know, I know some stuff popped up today about this high school incident and whether that is a story or isn't a story. That's been kind of, you know, talked about behind the scenes here for quite some time. Unless you have the access to what these private investigators have been able to dig up or haven't been able to dig up, I don't know how anyone can predict where this kid's going to go. I mean, as a talent, he's a top 15 player. You know, just the presence of that video, and it's so horrific. I just don't know how you predict where this kid's going to go. I've been saying second round because of his ability, but nothing would surprise me there.
Daniel, strap in and hang on. It's going to be quite a week ahead of the 2017 NFL Draft in Philadelphia. At Move the Sticks on social media. Path to the Draft is the program on NFL Network. We appreciate your time, man. Thanks.
All right, take care. Appreciate it.
There he is, Daniel Jeremiah. And the Move the Sticks podcast as well with Bucky Brooks, our good friend.
Good pick.
They do a great job. And Daniel, for the last 4 or 5 years, has been, I think he's gotten better and better and better. And he's one of the top guys out there.
He's terrific. But he said something that concerned me about the quarterback position.
Uh-oh.
And that is, he said, there's accuracy issues with Deshaun Watson, mm-hmm. his top pick, and decision-making aspects that are troubling with him.
You
like the player, you like the person, you hope the player comes along with it. Well, to me, he just described Blake Bortles, right? The guy that Dave Caldwell loved, the gym rat, the guy who loved football, but who had both of those issues and has displayed both of those issues the last few years. Pardon me if I go for Trubisky if I have to have a quarterback who doesn't have the issue with accuracy.
Mm-hmm.
I'll take that guy because we've seen that the last couple of years. You can't have a quarterback with accuracy issues and build around him and hope he comes along.
Yeah, and that's the book on Deshaun Watson. Unbelievable kid.
30 interceptions last 2 years.
Et cetera, et cetera.
And moxie and the whole thing.
But when you talk to football people, that's the concern.
Yes. Right.
So, but as with all quarterbacks, no matter what we say about them now, the problem with picking a quarterback is, guess what? You don't know until they're out there in a regular season game. And we will see.
Guess what? Next week, John, you and I will be sitting right here. You will be in Philadelphia.
I'll be at Jim Steaks.
I was about to say, which steak shop are you going to?
I'll be at Jim Steaks. I'll have a pizza without. I'm looking at Joe Fortunato, who's a Philly native, without, right? That's where they put all the steak and the gravy, I think they call it, and the cheese, and none of the onions and peppers and that crap. and it's delicious, and I have two.
We got to have that in super slow-mo on video.
Well, I know now that I can use time-lapse on my mobile phone, thanks to Pat Cavanaugh. So
you might put it up there on Periscope.
It might.
If you'll tell me what Periscope is before I leave for Philly, I will.
2 o'clock next Wednesday right here on Jaguars.com Live, presented by Everbank.